Hello, and welcome to the Church on the Hill podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to join us live this Sunday at 500 Sands Drive in San Jose, California. Visit churchonthehill.com for service times and directions, and also to learn more about connecting, growing, and serving at Church on the Hill. Now, please enjoy our sermon at Church on the Hill.
If you have paper Bibles, go ahead, open them. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 21 this morning. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. We are sticking there this morning, mostly. And so as you turn there, let me give you guys a little background of what's going on here in this parable. In this parable, it's spoken by Jesus. It's being taught by Jesus. It's being spoken to a group of people. He is teaching a group of people called the Pharisees. If you've gone to church, if you've been a Christian a long time, you probably are familiar with the Pharisees. If you've forgotten, let me remind you. The Pharisees, if we're being honest, they were kind of like what pastors are today, but 2,000 years ago. And here's what I mean by that. I'm not calling everyone here at Church on the Hill who's a pastor a Pharisee. But what I'm saying is 2,000 years ago, these were the people who were, they were like the spiritual leaders, right? People would look at them for spiritual guidance. People would look at them like, oh, you know who God is, and so I'm going to go to you to figure out who God is. They were the ones who knew their Bibles inside and out. Their whole life was all about the law of Moses that was passed down from God to them. They were really good at following that law or doing all the practices. You would think that these were the people that like partnered hand-in-hand with Jesus in his ministry and helped him proclaim the gospel to the world, but they weren't. They weren't Jesus's friends. They did not get along. They did not partner together because the Pharisees had made religion all about the rules. They were all about, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. It's all about following these rules. It's all about doing the right things. And the problem with that is God's heart was never about the rules. That's never what his mission was. Christianity or belief in God is not a religion of rules. It's a religion of relationship. He has always very simply, very clearly just desired a relationship with his creation, a relationship with you, a relationship with me. But that's not what the Pharisees taught. They taught to know God, you had to do the rules, and nobody did the rules as good as they did. And so they were the best, and no one was quite as good as them. And really, by doing that, they actually led people astray. So no, Pharisees, Jesus, not friends. Important to know that when we go through what Jesus says and what he teaches to them, because that's who he's talking to. So let's go ahead and do that, all right? Chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. We're just going to read through it. This is what Jesus says. He says, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later, he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted?" "The first," they answered. This is the Pharisees answering him. They said, "The first." And they were right. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." Okay, in this parable that Jesus tells, we kind of have three characters, right? We have the father, and then we have two sons. And each son, I think this is so interesting, each son gets the exact same line delivered to them. Each of them is told exactly this: "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." One son says he won't, but then he does. The other son says he will, but then he doesn't. And then Jesus asked the Pharisees, "Which son? Which son did what the father wanted?" And the Pharisees were right. They responded, it was the first one, the one that actually went. And they were right. But according to Jesus' parable, they weren't the first son. They were the second son. According to Jesus, it was actually the prostitutes and the tax collectors that were for the first son, which is crazy because they were the sinners of the sinners in that culture. And somehow these were the ones who did what the father wanted. How is that possible? How is that possible that the people who were considered like morally just the lowest of the low, like the most unsavable of people, how is it that those people are the ones who actually ended up doing what the father wanted and doing the father's will? It's because they repented and they believed. Repenting and believing leads to the life that the Father is calling his sons and daughters to live. And so, Christians, here is the encouragement and here is the challenge for us in the parable. And here's what I find. In almost all of Jesus' teachings, I see there's, on one side, there's encouragement, and on one side, it's a challenge. Right? There's encouragement for obedience, and there's a challenge and a warning of failure to obey. The encouragement is this, and this is really good news for all of us. You are not defined by who you were before you met Jesus. You never will be. You were never, you are never too far gone for him to find you. You are never, you were never too broken for him to heal you and to love you. God's grace is more than enough for you. If you repent and you believe in him, which just means recognizing your brokenness, recognizing your inability to save yourself, if you just do that, he will restore you from your shame. He will heal you of your brokenness. He will call you into a relationship with him. That is always going to be true, and that is the good news. But here is the challenge. We are not called just to call ourselves a follower of Jesus. We're not called just to say the things we think God wants us to hear. It's more than that. For those of you who don't know this, this has been an amazing year for me. 2025 has been awesome. I went into this year, I don't know how to say it besides, I went into this year without a ring on my finger, and as of 2 months ago, I have been married to the love of my life. It's been a very good year. Yes, people are happy about that. I'm happy about that. October 19th, 2025, I know it was just a slip of the tongue, I promise you. Very important day to me that I will never forget. And with that being said, we just celebrated Christmas. It was our first Christmas as a married couple. It was a big deal to me. I love Christmas. I love the Christmas traditions. I love all the practices, the getting of the trees, the Christmas songs, the music, all that. Love Christmas. And so this year was very important to me that I make Christmas special for my wife and I. And so, I mean, I went all out, guys. I bought presents before the 23rd, which is crazy for me. I used to have the tradition of going to the mall on the 23rd, and that was part of Christmas. But I bought them early. I wrapped them early so we could see them underneath the tree. I wrapped them pretty. I was actually really proud of myself for how pretty they looked. They looked like they were supposed to. And I was looking at the tree, and then I was a little too attention-oriented to detail. I was looking at all the gifts, and they were all the same wrapping paper. They're all the same red and white. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like there should be multiple different kinds of wrapping paper. That would make it just look better. And maybe that's just me. I don't know if other people do that. But for some reason, having multiple kinds of wrapping paper was a big deal to me. And so I went to Target, and I'm like, you know what would pop with red is silver wrapping paper. Red and white, silver, man, that just sounds so good. So I go to Target, I find $2 silver wrapping paper. I'm like, this is basically free in today's economy. So I buy it. It was the easiest purchase of my life. I go home, I get these gifts I haven't wrapped yet. I put them on the table. I get my wrapping paper, which I actually brought today because I love props. I get my wrapping paper and I get it open to start wrapping my gifts. Let's see if I can figure this out. I open it up, and to my surprise, this is not silver wrapping paper. It's clear. And I asked myself, what in the world is the point of clear wrapping paper? The whole point of wrapping paper is to hide what you're wrapping. So there's like a secret. So it's a surprise. So there's mystery to it. I'm like, I could wrap anything and there's not going to be much of a surprise there. Very disappointing. Well, please do not come to me after this and explain the potential uses of clear wrapping paper. In my head, it should be illegal to call this wrapping paper because it does not do what wrapping paper is designed to do. It just can't, right? Like in wrapping paper's nature, it is designed to wrap presents so you don't see them, so you open them and then you see them. This is not that. It can't be. So with that being said, there's a reason why I'm telling this story. I actually had an epiphany. I learned more about God because of this wrapping paper. It's amazing. So let me be clear. Let me tell you why I tell you this story. Clear wrapping paper does not do what it's designed to do, right? It's not fulfilling the function or the title that it's calling itself. I think in the same way, the Pharisees did not perform the function that they were supposed to do. They were calling themselves the religious leaders. But they didn't actually lead anyone to God. They didn't fulfill their function at all. They were clear wrapping paper religious leaders. Did not at all function the way God's followers are called to function. Not obedient to God. And instead of having a relationship with him, they made their religion about something totally different. They made it all about like worshiping and following the law instead of the one who gave it so that they could have relationship with him. And I think a lot of times, here's the challenge. I think a lot of times we can have the same tendency to fall into that dangerous world of becoming clear wrapping paper Christians. Like looking the part, having the title, donning it and saying that's what we are, saying all the right things, but just not performing the function of what a Christian actually is. What a follower of Jesus actually is. Not living that life. You know, sometimes I see this around where sometimes people will make this mistake of thinking Christianity, it's really just simply a worldview. Like if you're a Christian, it just means that's how you explain the world. Here's what I mean by that. It's like, it's all in our head. Being a Christian, to be a Christian, it means that you believe there is a God, right? It means that Christians believe that God is the creator of everything. I mean, and this is all true, right? That we're not just a randomly generated clump of cells that became sentient, right? And so if you believe that, now you're a Christian, right? Because we're not just some cosmic accident. Now you are a Christian. Being a Christian means that, you know, Christmas that we just celebrate, it's not about Santa. It's not about the presents. It's about Jesus. And if you believe that Christmas is about Jesus, that makes you a Christian. Being a Christian means that the Easter is not about the Easter bunny. It means it's about Jesus dying on the cross, right? And so you put a post on Facebook or Instagram about the true meaning of Easter being about Jesus and the cross. And that's what it means to be a Christian. It means standing for Jesus in that way. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll see this every 4 years, right? Being a Christian, you know who the Christian is based on which party they'll vote for, right? Because only one party can actually be a Christian or be a true Christian. And what happens here, if you're catching what I'm saying, is then accidentally without us realizing it, is being a Christian is all about just what you think about the world. It becomes a worldview. Because if that becomes like the actual basis of what Christianity is, it's just what you think and how you think. To me, to be honest, that's a clear wrapping paper Christian. That's what the Pharisees were. It's like someone who outwardly profess their faith, like, you know, having the title of a follower of Christ and yet neglecting our actual purpose to follow him. Christianity is not just a worldview. It's a lifestyle. You live out following Jesus. Our faith is not simply about declaring we believe that there is a God. It's about stepping into this invitation from God to do his will. And so Christians, there's actually good news here. If even the prostitutes and the tax collectors could have confidence that they did what the Father wanted by simply following his direction in his parable, what if I told you that we too could have confidence we are actually living the life we were designed and created to live if we followed the command of the Father, the invitation of the Father, when he says, "Son, go today and work in the vineyard." If we follow that invitation, I believe we know 100% sure we are doing the will of the Father. And so we're going to break down what that invitation actually means. And just so you know, when I first read this, when I first was writing this message and preparing this for you all, I read this line that the Father gives to the sons as a command. It is, in your notes, it is a command. And it's not wrong to call it a command. In many ways, it is. But if we were just to think of God commanding his sons or the Father commanding his sons in this parable, I actually do think we're missing the heart of what Jesus is trying to display in the Father here. Because a Father who just commands and sends is cold, is distant, is not personal, is overbearing. But we know that's not our Father. We know we have a God who desires closeness with us, a God who desires connection with us, a God who wants to dwell with us, and he wants us to be his people, and he wants to be our God. He cares about us. He loves us. And we see that displayed in this parable when the Father begins his invitation with "Son." He says, "Son, go today and work in the vineyard." Again, it's not incorrect to call this a command, but everywhere it says command in your notes, I would write invitation right next to it also. Because it's both. And he begins it with an invitation to actually be a son or a daughter of his. And now here's the interesting thing about this. Not everyone is a son or daughter of God. See, we're all God's creation. We were all made with a purpose. We were all made intentionally. We were all made in his image, which means every single human being has innate value and worth, far and beyond anything else. But just because we are God's creation does not automatically make us a son or daughter of God the Most High. We're a son or daughter of God when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. John chapter 1, verse 12 puts it this way, "Yet to all who did receive him," talking about Jesus, "to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So if you're in the room right now, if you're listening online and you don't know God, you don't believe in Jesus, you don't have this relationship, I'm not saying you have less worth. I'm not saying you somehow have any less value. You are still his prized creation. You just haven't made God your Father yet. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him. And that's made possible through accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so before we even think about the rest of the command / invitation in the parable of Matthew 21, we're going to miss it if we don't just first sit in the fact that more than anything else, God loves you. He wants to know you. He desires a relationship with you. He wants everyone to be his sons and his daughters. And if we are, if we do know Jesus, if he is our Lord and Savior, then this command applies to us. Right? If he's not our Lord and Savior, this does not apply to us. But if we call ourselves Christians, if we believe Jesus is our Lord and Savior, then here's the command. Go and work today in the vineyard. What does it mean to go? Well, go definitely is a command. It's a command to be active in our faith. Right? If we serve an active God, a God who lives and breathes and who moves even to this very day, then as his followers, we also should probably be active. We also should probably be on the move. Jesus in his ministry, he's always on the move. And with his disciples, he's constantly, when they declare him as Messiah and they say that he is the only way to be saved, he says, "Yes, that is good. Now that you know that that is who I am, go. Go tell people. You know that I am the Son of God, that I am here so you can have a relationship with God the Father. Now that you know that, go tell people that good news about this eternal life they can find in me. I mean, that's how the Gospel of Matthew ends, right? With Jesus' great commission to his disciple, where he says, you know, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. The life of a follower of Jesus and does what the Father wants from them is a life that's willing and ready to go. So maybe this morning we need to ask ourselves, where might God be calling us to go? Or maybe, who might God be calling us to go to? Christians, the next part of this command / invitation from God is work. Go work. And to be honest, living out our faith at times will feel like work. When I was a college student, I actually majored in studying the Bible. That was definitely work. I literally studied these books and wrote papers on these books and broke down the original Hebrew and Greek to many of these books. And I mean, it was literally homework and essays, and I was graded on how well I did this. And so it was in college that I learned that sometimes my faith in God is work. But actually, it's not because of the schooling. It's not what you would expect. Even though I was studying the Bible every day, I found that the more I studied the Bible in a school setting, the more my relationship with God started to become academic. And as it became more and more academic, I began to feel more and more distant from God. And I got to this point where I remember standing during one of our required worship chapels, and everyone is worshiping around me, and I'm standing there, and in my head, I'm just saying to myself, I don't know if I can sing these words right now because I don't know if I believe them. And in my head, I just was like, God, I want to believe these words that everyone is worshiping around me, but I don't right now. So what do I do? I just felt so distant, but I remember this voice that, I mean, to be honest, at the time, I thought it was my own voice, but I looking back, I think it was the Lord encouraging me, just repeating this phrase internally, just saying, keep working, keep working, keep working, keep showing up, keep showing up, keep showing up. What he meant is like, just keep showing up in my presence until some, like, even though you don't feel it. And I'm like, Lord, okay, I will. I'll keep showing up in places where I can meet you. But I don't know if I'm going to meet you, but I'm going to keep trying. And I kept studying his word. I kept worshiping him. I kept listening to messages. I did all these things. I kept praying just so I would feel his presence again. And it just did not happen. Week after week after week. And this was a stressful time because I was in college studying the Bible so that I would work in ministry, right? And I also had a deadline of at the end of the semester, I knew I had accepted and lined up an internship at a church. And so in my head, I was like, I better fix my relationship with God real quick before I go work at a church. Or else I don't know if I'm the right person to be there. And so in turn, I was like, God, I don't know if I am madly in love with you right now. I don't know if I feel your presence. I don't know if you're out there. And I do know that people who work at churches are the ones who are supposed to feel like you're there, the ones who are supposed to feel like it's easy, the ones who are supposed to feel like it's natural, like it just comes naturally to them. They never struggle in their faith. They never have to work on their faith. And I'll just be so honest with you. I went into that internship without a clear answer on whether or not I should be there. And part of me was thinking I shouldn't. But then my first day, I was walking on campus, and I was walking to the youth pastor's office at the time, and it was a new guy. I didn't know him yet. And then all of the sudden, out of nowhere, I just felt this confidence in God again. And I can't explain it. It wasn't like anything magical happened. It wasn't like this new found discovery was made. It was just one of those things where I believe the more I worked and put myself in places where I could encounter him, eventually I encountered him. And I found him again. And I felt him again. And there was no secret to it. There's nothing I can give you to say if you're in that season of this is what you need to do to get out of there. All I can say to you is just keep showing up. Sometimes it feels like work. Sometimes you don't feel like you want to be at church. Sometimes you don't feel like you want to be worshiping him because you don't know if you believe the words you are singing. Keep showing up in places where you're going to meet God. Because if you run away from those spaces, if you run away from him, then you're really not giving yourself a shot to meet him again. Just trust that if you keep going, if you keep showing up, if you keep working, you will see him. You will feel his presence again. The next aspect of this command slash invitation today, and I'll be quick about this. When you read the New Testament, it is so clear. The life of a follower of Jesus is a life that values today. You know, he talks about not worrying about tomorrow and just worrying about the troubles of today. But then there's also like this urgency for us to value our relationship with him, to work on our relationship today. He says, and in a lot of ways, it's actually kind of appropriate right now because I don't know how many of you do this, but we could, if we're not careful, we could look to the turn of the new year and be like, well, once the calendar changes, then I'll actually start taking my relationship with God a little more seriously. Then I'll start doing these things. Then I'll start that Bible reading plan. Why not start it today? Because you're just so hungry for him. Because you just want to know him more. You desire that personal relationship with him. The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, Paul in his letters tell us, today, the work starts today. The last part is in the vineyard. Go work today in the vineyard. And I'm going to be super honest with you all. I am not confident enough to tell you exactly where or what the vineyard is supposed to be. I can't declare that on the stage with utmost confidence, right? I can't say this is what the vineyard is because here's the thing. Jesus doesn't tell us what the vineyard is. A lot of times in the New Testament, in Jesus' teachings, a vineyard will represent Israel, God's chosen people. It could be that. It could just be the world, like the world around us. Go and work in the world around us. I tend to lean that way. I kind of think that's what the vineyard is representing here in this parable. Possible, but I don't know. Here's the thing I do know for sure. The vineyard belongs to the Father. And I actually think that's what matters. Not necessarily about what the vineyard is or who the vineyard is supposed to represent. It's about who it belongs to. And I think it actually represents and ties a bow on this invitation to the sons from the Father. It's an invitation into the family business. The Father owned the vineyard. So being invited to go work the vineyard is an invitation for the sons to take part in what the Father is doing, to take part in the Father's work. And I really think that's what it is. I think we are called as Christians into the family business. And what is God's business? It's bringing people from death to life. It's bringing hope to the hopeless. It's being a light in the darkness. It's declaring the good news that there is a Savior out there. And the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Christians, your Father, he has invited you into his family business. You are invited to take part in what he is doing and his work in the world. You are called to this relationship with him, with God the Father. You are called to repent and to believe in him, but you're called to walk alongside others as well on this journey in building a relationship with him. And so now the question is, as we close here, which son are you? Are you the son who actually shows up? Or are you to do the will of the Father? Or are you the son who steps into his Father's family business and telling people about Jesus? Or are we the son that just likes to talk? That likes to call ourselves a Christian, but really we're kind of just clear wrapping paper where we have the title of Christian, but really nothing more. because we're not actually going and living this good news that we have within us. Can I challenge you just to ask yourself that this morning? We don't need to wait to the new year. We can start that today. Ask yourself how you can step into God's invitation to go work today in the vineyard. You know, which aspect of that invitation maybe speaks to you the most? Is it the go? Do you need to go somewhere? Are you feeling distant right now and it takes work? Is there not an urgency and you're going to wait and you just want to live your life now and then eventually you'll come back to God and he'll be there waiting for you? What would it look like for us to accept the Father's invitation as sons and daughters of his and step into this family business? Here at Church on the Hill, especially next year, we have a lot of opportunities for you to step into this go work today in the vineyard command we get. We'll have Bible literacy classes starting next year. You know, if you're new to the faith, we'll have like a rooted group. It's like really just the basics of what it means to be a Christian. You know, we have go teams that go, that we have teams that serve locally. We have teams that serve internationally. We have all kinds of things that you can step into. You don't have to do it here at Church on the Hill, but we will be giving you those chances today. Well, and we'll talk more about that next year. But today, this morning, I just want us to meditate on God's command and his invitation to us and think about how you would respond to son or daughter, go today and work in the vineyard. Let me pray. God, help us see this parable as more of an invitation into your family business than just work from a distant God who just wants us to follow the rules. God, you just want us involved in what you're doing. You'll move if you want to move. You don't need me. You don't need any of us. But you choose to invite us into your work. God, I just pray that for all of us who call ourselves sons and daughters of you, that have put our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Lord, that we are willing to accept your invitation. Lord, help us think about the ways we need to respond. What would it look like for us to go? What would it look like us to work today? What would it look like us to join you in your business of bringing hope to the hopeless, light to the darkness? Your saving business, Lord. It's a gift. We get to be a part of it, and I'm so thankful for it, Lord. God, I pray that we aren't like the Pharisees. We aren't like that useless, clear wrapping paper that calls itself wrapping paper but doesn't actually do what it's called to do. Lord, I pray that we actually live the life that you call us to live, love people the way you call us to love them, and seek your face and your presence the way you call us to seek your presence. God, we thank you for all that you are, and we thank you for your love for us and your desire to have a relationship with us. We thank you for your son that you sent to us so that we can have eternal relationship with you. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.